Good morning to you all, and welcome to those of you who are here in person, and welcome to those of you who are joining our worship on our live stream. This morning's theme, as we work through these readings in Mark, is when faith gets difficult. And I just thought some of you will remember that, 15 months ago now, our Christmas theme was hope in the darkness. And I thought that was appropriate. I've still got my badge, hope in the darkness. And I just thought when faith gets difficult, we need to remember that Jesus did say, in the world you will have troubles, but fear not, I have overcome the world. One of the things that got difficult is that Jackie was going to be preaching this morning, and yesterday evening she did her lateral flow test and tested positive. So, Peter Myers, who tested positive earlier in the week, recorded his sermon on the same theme for St. Andrews, so we've pinched it. So that this morning's sermon will actually be Peter Myers via video. So we have overcome that particular difficulty. And Jackie said, following what she would have said to us, the song that she thought would really fit is one called Broken Vessels. Just out of curiosity, how many of us, we have sung it here, but probably not since before COVID. How many people know the song Broken Vessels? Only about a quarter of us, I guess. So just before we start our worship, I'm going to ask Derek if he'll just play the first sort of verse and a bit through, and then we'll stay seated and we'll just try singing it so that when we get to sing it, at the end of the sermon, we'll see whether it flows out of Peter's sermon or not. We will at least know a little bit of what's coming up. Derek.
If you can suffer my gruff voice, here we go.
In mercy gathered, mended and whole.
So hopefully when we come back to it later in the service, you'll have a sort of idea of where we are. Now, just a few notices. There's a Lent quiet morning with Paul Hunt coming up, Saturday the 19th of March at St Andrew's Church. Also at St Andrew's on the 2nd of April, I commend to you the Fisherman's Tale and Gavin Calver at Great Malvern Priory on the 30th of March. And of course we're going to be saying a farewell to Peter Myers. If you want to contribute to his leaving present, please do. There are little green slips at the back of church if you want to know how to contribute to Peter. Those notices went through fast enough. I was supposed to say that there's an APCM coming up, and today is the last day for getting your name on the electoral roll. So if you need to do that, there are these forms at the back of church, and see Sarah over coffee and make sure she has got your form. Also signing up at the back of church after the Mother's Day service, APCM, on that Sunday. It'll be Peter Myers' last Sunday actually here in church, and so we're having a lunch, and please sign up for that also at the back of church. If you really want to know what's going on, the easiest way of doing that is to receive our weekly online newsletter. You can get it through the website, and if you sign up, you can have it automatically sent to you, and it arrives sometime on Friday, so you will know what's happening. I think that more or less covers the notices, and you can see we get to some bands of marriage. I have to put that slide in, or I should almost certainly forget to do it. So, I publish the bands of marriage between James Alexander Charles Toghill of this parish and Louise Helen Gould, also of this parish. If any of you know any reason why these two people should not be joined together in marriage, you are to let us know. And this is for the second time of asking. So let's just join in a prayer for James and Louise. Lord, the source of all true love, we do pray for James and Louise. Grant to them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit, that as they enter into the oneness of marriage, they may be strengthened and guided by you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I guess we all know that sometimes faith gets difficult. So here are a few words from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. The Lord be with you. As we pray together, Lord, direct our thoughts, teach us to pray, lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been following the Lenten prayers from our leaflet, you will recognize some of the bits within this service. This is one of the first prayers within that Lenten leaflet. as we say together, I will lean in, retreat from the pressures I face, and move closer and deeper into your love. I will breathe out, refrain from the distractions I seek, and become open and receiving of your grace. I will linger, encircled by the depths of your care, and receive the endless nature of your mercy. Work in my life. I will whisper in the quiet of this sanctuary and be honest and real in your presence. I will listen, awaken my senses to your voice, and become expectant and hopeful of your kingdom work in my life. So we'll stand, if we are able, and we will sing, Jesus, Jesus, Holy and Anointed One.
Thank you.
Would you like to sit down as we come to just reflect on the past week and perhaps think of one or two of those things where we know we've got it wrong, failed to say the right thing, said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, failed to do the right thing? And that's just the beginning of my list. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse each one of us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And at this point, Shirley is going to come and read to us. It's quite a long reading, so make yourselves comfortable.
Yes, this morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark. And it's chapter 9, verses 2 to 29. Mark 9, verses 2 to 29. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly they looked around and they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it was written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law were arguing with them. But as soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out this spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive that out? But he replied, this kind can only come out only by prayer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we have now reached the point where we have a sermon.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm not with you in person. I tell you, it's really strange dusting off the recording skills and equipment. But there we go. That's where we are. So let me pray as we begin. Lord, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart glorify you, bring life and hope to us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many will know I was in the Royal Navy, and I used to fly. And when I started my flying training, I was an observer. I wasn't a pilot, so I was the navigator, warfare officer of the aircraft. But I started my training on the Jetstream aircraft, a picture of which you may see. And when, and in fact, there I think also is the picture of me with some of my my course when I was training. Anyway, when we started training, what you do is you start doing basic air sorties to learn basic flying skills. And that might start with visual navigation, then radar navigation. You might do some basic area search techniques, and you just build up all these different techniques, and you go through a series of modules. And then there's a point at which you start what's called the tactical navigation sorties. And that's the moment where you bring all these different skills, where you've been flying doing one-dimensional training, you bring all these different skills and it becomes a multi-dimensional sortie, bringing all these different skills in at different times throughout the sortie. And this is the point where it gets really hard, and it's a point at which lots of people then drop out. And I was amazed to have got through this stage. My first three or four sorties were a complete disaster. I don't know how I got through them, but I did, and then it eventually clicked and it all came together. But it was at this point where things became really, really difficult. And it was either I needed to pull it all together and make it happen, or it was going to fall apart and I was going to need to fail flying training. Today's reading is a little bit like that moment where you start moving into the tactical navigation sorties. It was like that for the disciples and for Jesus. There is a step change in Mark's narrative of how he presents the gospel at this point. Things become really difficult. And we see that with Jesus, who arrives to find the disciples and the crowds arguing. He discovers that the boy can't be healed, that the disciples are confused because they haven't been able to heal, and yet they just recently returned from a mission where they've been healing the sick and proclaiming the good news, but they haven't been able to do it here. And you also have a father who's disappointed and discouraged because his son can't be healed. And Jesus, in the same way, arrives despairing. He says, "Oh, you unbelieving generation, how long have I got to put up with you?" It suddenly got very difficult. Faith has got difficult, just like it did at that moment in flying training at tactical navigation. And I want to suggest today that when things get difficult in our faith, that's the point where the level of our intimacy with God kicks in. And it is only with a deep intimacy with God that we can journey on and face those difficult times in our faith. And I think we see that in this passage for Jesus, for the Father, and for the disciples in this passage. So let's look at each of those for a moment in itself. So what is it in Mark's gospel at this moment that sees that step change? Just as I've made that comment about those tactical navigation sorties. Well, up until now, as you'll see from the map that's up, that Jesus has concentrated his ministry up round the Sea of Galilee. And that's where he's been teaching about the coming kingdom of God. And then in chapter 8 last week, we heard that Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Christ." And this is the first time that Jesus' true identity has been declared. And the point is that from now on, all roads lead to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way. In the gospel of how Mark has written it, is that Jesus is en route to Jerusalem to confront the powers of the enemy, to be arrested, to be put on trial, to be tortured, and finally to be crucified. It's all coming up to this culmination. At the moment, everything now leads to Jerusalem. So the stakes have suddenly changed. His identity has been declared, and he's finally en route to the final destination of Jerusalem. So how does the intimacy here help Jesus as he despairingly looks at the generation, oh, you unbelieving generation, and begins to face what he has to up ahead of him in Jerusalem? Well, what we haven't heard and what we didn't read this morning is the one section before this this section, and that is the transfiguration. That's the point at which Jesus took a number of his friends, he went up to the top of the mountain and had a deep, intimate moment with his heavenly Father, where once again his heavenly Father declares, "You are my Son, whom I love." Doesn't get more intimate than that, that Jesus's Father affirms his identity and affirms his love for him. And he does this prior to coming down the mountain and beginning that final difficult, challenging road to Jerusalem. It was a moment of deep intimacy and deep affirmation for Jesus. And so when Jesus comes down that mountain with his friends, finds this chaos, arguments and inability to heal the sick, he has that moment of almost despair. Oh my goodness, oh unbelieving generation, how long am I going to be with you? But he knows who he is. He's had that moment of intimacy. He's affirmed and assured. And what does he do? He just does the one thing that stands in front of him. He deals with the sick boy and heals him. And I think there's something that, slightly aside for us here, is that if we feel that we're tempted to become overwhelmed by situations, we look around the world and see the challenges that we face, whether it be climate change, whether it be obviously the thing that is staring us in the face with Ukraine and the war there, or any other thing that's going on in our lives, we needn't be overwhelmed. God is ultimately in charge. And just as Jesus knew God was in charge, he just dealt with the one thing that was in front of him. You or I can't solve the war in Ukraine. It's overwhelming. It's shocking. But what can we do? What's the one thing before us? Like Jesus healing that boy. Is it prayer for us? Is it making financial donations? Is it offering your home to a refugee? I don't know what it is, but don't be overwhelmed. But Jesus had had that moment of intimacy with his Father. He knew who he was. He knew he was loved. He was assured of his commission and mission. And he just did the next thing in front of him. But it came from a place of intimacy and love for the Father. So as faith gets difficult for the Father and the disciples, where was the call to intimacy for them in this story? Well, let's look at the Father first. The Father came searching for Jesus. We see that at the beginning of this passage. But he didn't find Jesus. He found the disciples. And the disciples could not heal his son. And so think of the discouragement, not only because he didn't find Jesus, but also his son isn't being healed. So disappointment, it's hard. What does he do? And then Jesus does arrive and they have this conversation. The Father says, if you can do anything, help us. Can you hear the unbelief, the uncertainty, the discouragement? He said, even you, Jesus, if you can do anything, can you help us? And Jesus' response, if I can, you know, almost an incredulous question. And what does Jesus say to the Father? He says, all things are possible for those who believe. All things are possible for those who believe. Now, is that believe that things are possible? No, I don't think it is. I think what he's saying, Jesus is saying, is believe in who I am. Believe that I am the Christ. It's a belief in Jesus that the Father is being called to. And so here we have Jesus saying to the Father, look, believe. And then all things are possible. But that call to belief is a call into relationship. It's a call into intimacy. Now, it's easy to believe when things are difficult. It's easy to believe when things are going smoothly. But when faith becomes difficult, when we're not seeing breakthrough, when we're not seeing the things that we hope for, then faith becomes more difficult. And the call that Jesus puts out is believe. And that means a deepening in our relationship. It's about a deepening in our intimacy in our relationship with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And so that's the call to the father with the sick son when things are getting difficult. So what about the disciples? Well, remember the disciples, they are just a few chapters in the narrative before had been excited. They'd been on mission. They'd gone out, declared the good news, healed the sick, cast out demons. So what was suddenly different? They were confused. They were baffled. What's going on? Hang on. We've just seen all these wonderful things. And yet now we can't heal this boy. And so they say, once they finally get Jesus on his own, why couldn't we heal this boy? And Jesus says to them, this kind can come out only by prayer. And some manuscripts talk about prayer and fasting. Now there is something deeper in what Jesus is saying than really comes out in the text. And what I mean by that is that can't we already imagine that the disciples have been praying? They've been out healing the sick, casting out demons. They have been learning the gift of prayer. And yet here Jesus says only this comes out by prayer. And so there's something deeper anointing, deeper power that Jesus is alluding to, which isn't subsequently teased out within the script here. But the basic call that Jesus has to the disciples is to prayer. And what is prayer about? Prayer is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It's about intimacy and closeness and relationship. And Jesus is calling us to that place of prayer and dwelling. So in this passage today, I think we see our faith, or the faith of those involved, becoming more difficult to hold. We see this with Jesus, who has to come to terms finally with the road to Jerusalem and where that's leading. We see that with the father who is disappointed not seeing the son being healed. And we see that with the disciples who, having been able to heal, couldn't now heal. And in each of those situations, for each of those groups, Jesus, for the Father and for the disciples, it was the deeper level of intimacy with the Heavenly Father that was going to enable them to progress into their journey of faith. And just like I had to make that transition from one-dimensional flying sorties to a multi-dimensional flying sorties, if I was going to progress with my flying career, all of us are called into greater maturity in our faith. And we can only mature by facing the difficulties of life and in our faith. And I feel that, and I believe, and I've been really challenged over the last 2 weeks, in part because of some things I heard at the New Wine Harrogate Conference, but also just my general journey of faith recently, we will mature as we spend more time being intimate with the Lord. And what does that intimacy mean? It means dwelling in those private places in prayer, encountering, listening, praying, and being with God. I was struck by a quote by Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you may know him. He's new to me, but he was a writer and theologian through the sort of 70s time, I believe. But he said this: no man is greater than his prayer life. No pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. The pulpit can be a shop window to display one's talents. The prayer closet allows no showing off. So no man or woman is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. I find that deeply, deeply challenging. And one of the things I'm trying to do during this Lent time is take up a challenge to, as it were, double my time of prayer with the Lord. What does it mean for me to dwell with the Lord? Now, this isn't about doing. This isn't about activity. It's about relationship and spending time with the Lord, knowing that when I face difficulties, when I face challenges to my faith, I will have a deeper trust, a deeper knowledge of the goodness of God who will lead me through those difficult times. Just as Jesus needed to hear that affirmation on that Mount of Transfiguration, "You are my son, in whom I dearly love." When did you last sit and dwell in a time with the Lord and feel you heard the Lord say, "I love you"? What does it mean for that father if we're not seeing, if we're feeling discouraged, to sit and say, what does it mean to believe in Jesus, who Jesus was, to another level, to dwell and trust in him? And what does it mean when we're not seeing breakthrough, like those disciples, not seeing breakthrough? Why couldn't they heal that sick and yet respond to that call of Jesus that comes out through prayer and fasting? I'm also praying, fasting once a week during this Lent in a way that I've got lazy and not done in recent years. Greater intimacy with our Father will take us through those difficult times. May we not be people who are playing or straying, but let's be people who are praying. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, call us into new levels of intimacy with you. Help us to know that it's not about doing, but it's about being. Help us to embrace and enjoy, to wrestle and celebrate, to praise and worship in those private places behind the closed doors. Just as Jesus said to the disciples, go into the quiet places, close the door and pray. Help us afresh to discover new levels of intimacy with you in this season and this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seems to me that Peter has given us quite a lot to think about there. And we really are going to miss him when he moves on after Easter. But on the other hand, we can rejoice that there's a church down in Dorset that is going to be greatly blessed by having him as their vicar. And yes, indeed, you may have heard the words we all have times when our faith gets difficult. And we have to remember that life is fragile. Handle with prayer. And so we'll stand and we'll sing. Well done. You may sit down, and June is going to come and lead us in our intercessions.
I'm just going to invite you now just to stay in that prayerful moment, that prayerful time, and just we're going to just spend just a few moments just in our own prayer time. Pray what is ever on your heart. Let's do that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word brought to us this morning, so powerful. Lord, let it melt into our hearts and on our minds for this coming week. Help us, Lord, to follow in your footsteps, to go where you lead us. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we can speak your words of love, truth, and peace to others who we meet, that they will meet and see you through us, come to know you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift the people of Ukraine up to you, because of the senseless killing of innocent civilians, men, women and children, because of whole families have been torn apart, because of the horror they have experienced and the pain they feel and the many losses they have experienced. Please, Lord, bring justice. Please bring peace. But Lord, we thank you for the generosity, care and love being shown to the refugees across the world and for the way they are being welcomed into homes. We pray for the UK will process the visas quickly for those in need of a safe place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift into your arms today all those who are unwell in our church families, of All Saints and St. Andrews, those who are undergoing hard and difficult, painful treatments, those who are awaiting test results, those who are housebound, and those who have COVID. Those who are suffering with difficult mental health issues, and for those in distress and despair. And we just take a moment's silence, just bringing those people before you in that you know. Lord, draw close to them now. Comfort and contain them in your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now we pray from Psalm 25 as we go into this week. Dear Lord, we ask you to show us your ways, teach us your paths, and guide us into your truth. For you are God, our Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may like to stand as we share the peace, and then Jeff will come up and celebrate communion for us. So, let's stand. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Over to Jeff. You can share the peace with one another.
Please be seated. Just before we have our Eucharistic prayer, I need to ask Peter if he could get some more wafers, please, because I seem to have run out. So thank you, Peter. Our Lord Jesus once said to his disciples, "You need to get me right inside you, to eat and drink me," he said. Peter's been talking about intimacy. You can't get more intimate than having someone dwell right within you. And this communion service is really our opportunity, once again, to invite Christ to become a part of us. Thank you very much. Thank you. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself, and when we turned away you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. So we invite you to come forward to the communion rail, if you wish to do so, to receive communion. If you'd rather stay where you are, then if you could just raise a hand at the end of the communion and we'll come down to you. If you wish to receive a blessing instead of the bread and wine, please just keep your hands lowered. Draw near. Sorry, I'm just...
Almighty God, you see that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And for our final song, we can stand and proclaim that God's love will never, never let us go. Lord, we lift before you these gifts and the gifts that are made through bank transfers and in other ways. We pray that the money that we give may be used wisely to build your kingdom, to bring relief to those who are suffering, and to proclaim that there is good news in the love of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we pray that this week we may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, we pray that this week we may take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, we pray that this week you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and those whom we love, and remain with us always. Amen. So, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. If you want prayer for anything, there'll be people here more than happy to pray with you. If you just need a coffee and a chat, there's coffee and biscuits over there. Blessings upon you all. Have a great week.